25, Saturday, Women's Christian Growth Fellowship, 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Olivet Union Missionary Baptist Church is the invited guest for the Pastoral Appreciation Celebration of Pastor Damon Colvin. Pastor Williams will be our guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, October 5th, 2025 at Olivet Baptist Church, 1115 21st Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, at 3 p.m. Those who are riding the charter bus, please sign up at the church office. October 11, 2025, Saturday, Men's Christian Growth Fellowship at 10:15. October 12th, Annual Church Family and Friends Jersey Sunday. If you would like to bring a dish, call the secretary at the church at 309-828-1162 and let her know. Thanks. October 15th, Annual Wood River Baptist District Association Women Auxiliary Conference will be held in Springfield, Illinois. October 26th is Pink Sunday. October 31st, Hallelujah Festival. The Union Missionary Baptist Church Care Ministry. The purpose of the Union Missionary Baptist Church Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Thank you.
Good morning to all of you on the inside, those that may be listening to us on the outside. We welcome you to our Sunday morning service. We pray that something will be said that may inspire you in this coming week. We know that we are living in trying times, and God is more important in our lives than ever before. We want you to understand that no matter what you might be going through, one thing you need to remember when you get up in the morning is that this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to ask those that can stand, if you can, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Love God, love others. This time we will say our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You may be seated. This
He's able. Thank you.
Father, we pray that you would touch the hearts of all of our country leaders, all those that are in charge, that they may seek your counsel in their decision making and do that which is right in your sight. Father, touch their hearts so that they will get past party lines and look on everything as individuals. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts so that we may come together on one accord and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just praying today for your blessings. We ask that I would touch the hearts of each and every one of us, that we may prepare ourselves to hear the word that is to be preached today, and that we may not only hear the word, but live according to the word. Father, just let thy Holy Spirit come and be in the midst of us. Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we turn service over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We come on today just to say thank you, Lord, for another day, another breath, and an opportunity to serve in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I know you heard the announcements, but this coming Saturday, 10:15, we have Women's Christian Growth, 10:15 to 11:15. Those who would like to come, ministry option, you could come on out at 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. for orientation, and then we will start the full sessions in 2026. It's hard to believe that it is the end, going on the end of 2025, isn't it? The year has gone by fast. Amen. Amen. But we want to invite all of the women, those who the Lord leads, to come out. No pressure, no recruitment, just coming in and nurturing the faith. Amen. 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 I want to say thank you for making me look good last week. We went to Mount Pisgah, and thank you, Union, for coming on out and doing what you do. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the family we call Union Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. 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 And reminder, we are going to Olivet, Rock Island, Illinois, after service. Bus will be leaving approximately 11:30. Amen. 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 How many are ready for a word today? You ready for a word? Amen. Ready for a word to hear from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're going to hear from Jeremiah the prophet on today. Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center. Jesus, you're the center.
Chapter 1, we'll start at verse 4, read through verse 8. Book of Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, starting at verse 4. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. If yours sounds differently, that may be the reason why. Read from King James, because many have been brought up in King James Version, and when we quote King James Version verse, we recognize that. Those other verses, amen, amen, we don't recognize those all the time, some of us. So Jeremiah reading, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, King James Version, then I will refer to NIV. Verse 4, Jeremiah 1 through verse 8, reads as follows. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. Verse 7 and 8, key verse for today. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. What I want to share with us today, and what I want to talk about, is trust God's call. Trust God's call. And I'm not just talking to preachers, evangelists, and those who are in the ministry of sharing the gospel on a regular basis as a leader, because all of us are proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? All of us are to share the redemption story. Those who are believers, we are to share the redemption story, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, everywhere we go. But if you give me a few minutes today, I want to help me and help you talk about, many times we look at our inadequacies and we don't do what God has called us to do. We look at our inadequacies, the stuff that we look at and say, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I'm not enough, something or this. And I want to let you know that God would not bother you and call you to do something if he didn't know you could do it. Many of us want to use excuses because of our own perception of ourselves. But my sister, I want to let you know, God has his hand on you. My brother, I want to let you know, God has his hand on you. You can do all things. Come on, Philippians. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But I get it. NIV says it this way in verse 7 and 8, and I understand the tension. I understand the struggle that we as human beings in the creation of God who have been exposed to sin through disobedience, I get it. Why sometimes we stop doing what we're supposed to do or don't even try. But here, Jeremiah is called to give a word that nobody wants to hear. Verse 7 and 8 of Jeremiah 1, but the Lord, NIV, said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I get it. Jeremiah was looking at his age, and after all, let's be honest, don't look at somebody else, look at yourself, is that many times, especially in our culture, we look at the age of someone, and we put limitations on them, and they 8 years old, they 9, they 10, or they just a baby, let me put them on up here, they 19 years old, let me burp them, treat them like they a baby.
But do you know that the God that is in that young person, that youth, was there before you even knew who you were? And many times we need to preach to ourselves and encourage ourselves that God can call anybody at any age and any experience level. So if you are a person that you feel even right up in the church that people are not using you because of your age or your inexperience, don't trust people. Go with what God has called you to do. Yes, people will come because they've made a program. They didn't get the people first and then see what God is leading the people to do. They've got a program and they got to fill the program. So that's what they're doing. They're filling the program. They're not doing what the Lord has said do. They're trying to get some names on that program. I'll say amen by myself. Amen, amen. Amen. Done had meetings and everything. They ain't asked the Lord nothing. We're going to have this program, and we got to find some folk to have this program. Ooh, well, I'm not in trouble. I'm in trouble. He in trouble, ain't he? Yeah, yeah. So I better move on. As we look at this text, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, please look at yourself and say, I'm good enough to be used by God. Can y'all say that again? I'm good enough to be used by God. Any neck folk, men and women, you got, I'm good enough to be used by God. There's going to be naysayers. There's going to be haters. There's going to be people that have their opinion, and that's all they have is their opinion. But my God, how many believe my God can do anything? My God can call anybody and use anybody. If the Lord said a three-year-old is my pastor, I'm going to respect that three-year-old as my pastor. Eight-year-old, nine-year-old, come on, King Josiah in the Bible. God can use, and God will put the right people around somebody. And can I challenge us to stop believing what we read? Not just pick and choose, but God can use anybody. And in today's text, we are going to dive into the depths of a common struggle many of us encounter, the feeling that we are inadequate. What people say and what they see is more important than what God has told you to do. Especially when faced with the call of God in our lives. At minimum, God has called you to tell the story about how Jesus has saved your soul. We're going to look at this, y'all, through the eyes of Jeremiah. Where God speaks to this young prophet, let us listen to what he thought. He thought that he wasn't good enough because he wasn't born at the time people think he needed to be born at. Think about that. You too young, meaning you was born too late. But God can use you no matter who you are. Since I'm already in trouble, there's some old folk that ain't got it together yet. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, trying to tell you how to do your relationship, trying to tell you they dating life and all that kind of stuff, who you need to date, who you need to do this, and your career and all that. If you stop, but because you're a kid, they feel you shouldn't say anything, but your pastor said to ask them about their dating history. Ask them about their career choices. You mean to tell me you never made a mistake? You've never made it a bad choice? Don't allow people to present to you that they are the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. And if God has called you, don't be like Jeremiah and say, I'm to this and I'm to that. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm too young. You must go. And what I like about it, verse 8, is say what I tell you to say and do what I tell you to do. And everything will be all right. It's not that folk gonna like it, because Jeremiah, people did not like Jeremiah. They hated to see him coming. As a matter of fact, they talk about killing him. So people are not going to like the message. Jeremiah had a message that because of sin, they need to repent and honor God, because they are a nation after God's own heart, and they were committing spiritual adultery, meaning they were not being loyal to the one and only true and living God. They were idolatrous. They were allowing other gods to be served and worshipped, and even to the temple of God. That spiritual adultery. Put no other gods before our God. He is number one. He's the only God. Serve him and serve him alone. And Jeremiah's message was a message is that you can repent and change your way, because Babylonian nation, they are coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you want God to give you grace and mercy, turn from your ways, because you're wrong. And folk don't like to hear that they're, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, they don't like to hear that they're wrong. They can tell you if you're wrong. But if you flip it, tell them that they're wrong, you're going to end up like Jeremiah, and they're going to have a meeting, see if they can take you out. Let's focus on three main points here. Let's look at this. God can teach us a valuable lesson through this about our own readiness, and not only being ready, but willing to follow God's guidance and not listen to those voices that are not God's voice. Despite our insecurities, in spite of the things and our perceptions of our own inadequacies, God's call is something we can trust and depend on. Let's focus on Jeremiah 1:7 that will help us overcome our fears and our anxiety. Some of us have hesitation in our lives because we don't want to actually step out and believe what we read, that we can trust God. My brother and sister, you can trust God. You can actually trust God. Dealing with this resistance of others about your call and who you are in the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are. God has a divine purpose and plan for you, and it's set before you. All you have to do is walk in it. Let's examine how God assures us despite our perceived shortcomings. Let's see how God's plan is not limited to our own understanding. Let's explore how God provides the strength and guidance we need to keep on going. Because when you step out for the Lord, there's going to be problems. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be adversaries. There's going to be people that are not going to like that you are doing what the Lord told you to do. Do you notice that some of us, I'm in that, when you're out in the world and you went to the club, it wasn't hard to say, I'm going to the club. And you got a car full of folk willing to meet you there. And when it's your birthday, they will pay for everything. But now you say you ask somebody to go to church, ain't nobody getting in your car. Ain't nobody paying. Help me somebody. Can I be real with you? When you step out for the Lord, then you lose a crowd. But when you're out there in the world, Satan love it, you can get high for free. Come talk to me. But when you say God is my everything, Jesus Christ is my Savior, you come to church. That's why they sing that song. If I go, I have to go by myself. Somebody's mother, she ain't coming. Somebody's father, he ain't coming. Brother, sister, first cousin, Tutu, and Pookie. They ain't coming. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 7. That first part there. The first point I want to make is that God's assurance goes beyond our inadequacies. If you want to make it simple, God knows you. That's why he picked you. God knows you. That's the first point. God knows you. That's why he picked you. God does not look at the countenance, meaning your appearance. We learned that from King David when he was chosen among his brothers. Even the preacher, when he showed up at David's daddy's house, Jesse's house, he saw the first son who was big and strong and of age and everything. But even the preacher had to check with God. And God said, he's not it. Because I don't look at the countenance. I look at the heart. Went through everybody, all the brothers that was available and around. And the prophet had enough sense to say, God said, the preacher's here. The one I'm supposed to anoint, the king, he's here. You got any others? Matter of fact, I do. There's one, the young one. Y'all get the young one. He's out there actually working, tending to the sheep. Well, you better go get him. Come on. And then when David showed up, God told the prophet, that's the one right there. We don't have to worry about how we look. We don't have to worry about what the world says we have and don't have. You know what? If God can take two fishes, that's why I like King James Version, and five loaves of bread, it doesn't matter if I don't have anything in my refrigerator. Because he can take two fishes, five loaves of bread, and feed thousands of folk. I'm not telling you of something that I've just read and something I've heard. There's been time in my life where I had to take some ketchup, water, and salt and make me some spaghetti sauce. And you know what? It was good, y'all. Y'all can't tell me that my God can't provide. Y'all looking at me funny. There's been time I ain't had no money. Go in there. Friends looking at me, can you bring me some ice water and some lemons? And I take that sugar that's for the coffee and I make my lemonade right there. You can act like you're ashamed, but I ain't ashamed. The Lord will provide. I'll get the free water and some free lemons and take that sugar and make me some lemonade in a second. I'm not worried about what folk think about me. My God is able. What I'm trying to make the point is here, is that God knows you. That's why he picked you. Is don't be looking at your circumstances, your resources, from your perception. If God called you, he has given you everything you need to move forward in the journey with him. Scripture shares many examples of young people who were inexperienced, people being used by God in extraordinary ways. David just wasn't picked because he was young, but also David was the only one, including the king who was a part of the story, including his brother. He was the only man enough youth, if y'all catch that, that was willing to go and fight Goliath. Nobody else would fight the giant. But that young David boy, he said, bring him, let's go. Because the same God that kept me while I was out there with the lion and the bear is the same God that's going to keep me with this giant. This giant ain't nothing to a bear and a lion. That's the young youth David talking. In other words, I've seen him do it before. He's going to do it right now. But there was a lot of older people around who had the same opportunity to fight Goliath. And they said, no. Samuel was just a boy when God called him to be a prophet. He was raised in the temple under Eli. The Lord called him. God began speaking to him while he was still yet a little bitty child, using him to deliver a message unto Israel. God uses anybody. Mary, from presentation, she wasn't old. She was a young woman. Mother of Jesus was likely maybe even a teenager when she was chosen to bear the Son of God. Though young and humble, she responded with incredible faith and obedience to what God had for her. God uses anybody. Sometimes we forget about this boy. Bible say lad. Is that folk was hungry with Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus asked a question, I'm paraphrasing, where are we going to get lunch from? The disciples looking around and said, all we have is this boy, this lad here. The boy with the loaves and the fish. John 6, look that up. That's a good verse there. The young boy offered his little small lunch. Five barley loaves and two fish. And everybody had lunch because that little boy was willing to give up his lunch and share. God can use anybody. So doing what God wants you to do is a faith and obedience issue. It's not if you are qualified issue. It's are you going to walk out on faith and trust that the God who has called you will enable you and allow you and empower you to do what he's called you to do? And do you choose to be obedient to him? Oh, let me look at this. Yeah. Y'all didn't close your Bible, did you? You got your Bible? Verse 7, it said, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. In other words, don't look at your perception of who you are. It may be true that you are a child, but I am God. Not being a qualified issue means, are you willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Walking by faith is the central theme throughout the Bible. You don't walk by yourself. You walk by faith. And sometimes you can't see anybody, but you can see that if you just walk by faith and not by sight, it means trusting God and his promises, even when the outcome is unclear. When the circumstances seem contrary to what your human knowledge tells you, you got to do what God has called you to do. There's several key scriptures and examples that illustrate walking by faith. You know, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. This verse emphasizes that believers are to live by trusting in God. We have to believe and do what we read. We live by trusting in God. Not but by what we see, but what God has told us to do. Not relying on what they can see. Not relying on what you can see. Not relying on what I can see. But understanding that God does not make mistakes. If God said go, go. And I say this. Asking questions. You want to ask clarity questions. How can these things be? The Lord will talk to that. But if you ask questions in a way that question God's power and that if he's able to do it, then that's where the tension comes. But I can just speak for me. If the Lord say go, I go. There ain't nothing to be said but go. I'm walking in obedience. And I've noticed as I walk in obedience, God has already prepared the table and everything I need and even my wants are supplied simply because I didn't give God no lip. He said, go, I go. I don't know why this is strange to some folk, but there's some people that are old school. My mother was old school. If I talk back to her, she'd tell me, put that lip out there. She tapped me a couple of times on that lip. Some of you all have children and stuff, and you had parents that was old school, give you a little tappy-tap, and may not have been on your lip for talking back and asking questions. Even now, your grown children, you'll tell them, because I said so. But when it gets to God, we got all these questions. We got all this, I'm not ready yet. I'm not going to. It's a faith issue, an obedience issue. When you go with God, God will bless you and sustain you, and you will learn everything you need to learn as you go. Jeremiah 1 and 7, God says to Jeremiah, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith involves trusting in what you can't see. So if you don't go based upon what you see, you're walking in something, but it's not faith. When you trust, that means walking in what you can't see. You know that God is making a way. You don't see the way yet. But you know that God is making a way, so you just walking and going anyhow. Because it's not based upon what you can see. Hebrews 11, 6, come back and talk to us again and say, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Seek him. What's the point you're saying is that when you walk by faith and faith will produce obedience that pleases God and is essential for our relationship with God. Do not say, I'm a youth. 1:7 says, here God directly addresses Jeremiah's insecurities about his age and not only his age, but his ability. And I want to suggest that it wasn't necessarily Jeremiah that looked at his age. He got the thought of his inadequacies because of his age, because of the culture and the people who had been in his ear as he had been raised. So I can't erase some stuff, but I'm going to tell you, it does not matter how old you are. God has called you. Allow God to use you. It doesn't matter what anybody on your left, your right, in front, or back has said you can and cannot do. If God has called you, you go ahead and walk in that calling. If God has said he's going to bless you on your job, walk in that job and be faithful. Just because it ain't happened yet don't mean it's not going to happen. God is blessing you in your relationships. God is having things for you in your holistic life. Emotionally, God is blessing you. Your attitude is getting on the right track. God is just doing great things. Stop looking at your insecurities. Look at your God. And know that God does not make mistakes. He is who he is. And that means he's an authority. He's a sovereign God. And he will not fail. How often, my brother and sister, do you hesitate? Can I get in your business? How often do you need to pause and wait a little bit? Some of us have been waiting. The Lord has called us and we've been waiting a day. Been waiting a year. 10 years. 40 years. God has called us to walk in what we really should be walking on. We're doing some stuff that somebody had a program at church and put our name on it, and we're still on the program that a human being said we need to be on, or we should do, and we make a good job on it, but we haven't walked in the calling that God has called us to do. How often do we hesitate to follow God's calling? God's response to Jeremiah encourages us to trust him and his assessment of who we are, and he knows our limitations. He knows what we can do. Don't worry if somebody say, you ain't a good parent, you ain't a good daddy, you ain't a good mother. You just do the best that you can. God will fill in the gaps. You don't have all the skills for this job, or you don't this and that. God knows. If you cantankerous, he know you cantankerous, he'll fill in. He'll take care of everything you need to take care of. You just walk by faith. The next thing, and if I can call it 1:7, Jeremiah 1:7b, you must trust God's direction and his guidance. Trust God's direction and his guidance. Trust God's direction and his guidance. The first thing is I have to be open and follow and obedient, first of all, to God's direction and to God's guidance. I can't just show up and go do something and then say, God, come on in. Is that you don't need to be in there because you thought it was a good idea or somebody told you. You need to be there because God directed you to be there and he's guided you to be there. I understand prayer is important, and I understand that it's a habit that we always got to pray first and ask God's guidance. But if you are constantly in prayer and direction and guidance from God, you don't always have to say, stop, let us pray. Oh, what you talking about? You shouldn't be saying that. Even the Lord told Jeremiah, read Jeremiah. He said, stop praying for them. They ain't going to do right. They hard-headed. Stop praying. Prayer is important. Ask for God's guidance. But don't do it because it's just ceremony. It's just what we did. We get together, so we might as well pray. If you're going to pray, you are actually asking God for guidance and direction. So when you show up, you already know. At least you got go. Did y'all catch that? At least God has told you go. When you show up, you know that your guidance and your direction, I'm moving on, but I got to help somebody this morning, is at least you know that God said go. And if somebody asks you in the meeting or wherever you are, stuff like that, I'm just here because the Lord told me to be here. That's the start of it all. You must go to everything I send you. Isn't that what he said? And whatever I command you, Jeremiah 1:7, you must go to everyone I send you. All he had was a go. He didn't say specifically. He just said, go to everybody I send you. And whenever I tell you to say, you say it. The directive from God is clear to Jeremiah. Is he's first of all to go. And go where? Where God sends him. He's supposed to speak to people. Speak what? What God tells him to say. Despite his self-doubt, despite his insecurities, he just needs to do what God says and go where God says go and preach the message that God have him preach. It's set here in the text, a mission that is beyond Jeremiah's comprehension. And I want to talk to somebody. It's beyond Jeremiah's comprehension. He just can't understand it all. He can't control the situation because God just saying, go in the flesh. I'm like Jeremiah, I would like more details. Who am I supposed to go to? Do they have security? Do they have cameras? If something go down, what am I supposed to do? Where are the exits? All he has is a go. But can I remind you of what our Bible says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what does the Bible say? He shall what? Direct your path. Just don't read it, but believe it. Trust in the Lord with everything you have, not just when you know what's going on. Romans 12:2 says this way, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, in other words, if you don't know what you're doing, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given unto you. I pray that through this word we've helped somebody here, but in this text, it clearly lets us know what we need to do. And we need to answer God's call, because God knows who he's calling. God knows you got anger issues. God knows you don't show up for anything on time. God knows who you are, because he made you. You just need to say, I'll go. And I'll go to whoever you tell me to go when you tell me to go. And I'll say to them whatever you tell me to say. Then this last one, I'm going to leave you alone. I know. Time. But I need to leave on this. I need to leave on this. It's if God calls you, God equips you. If God calls you, God equips you. If God calls you in a situation with a whole bunch of mean people, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm serious. There ain't nothing wrong with that, because God has given you the gift to deal with mean folk. You're going to be all right because God has equipped you to deal with mean folk. God called you to deal with some lazy folk. Ain't no reason to complain because God has called you to deal with lazy folk. He's equipped you to deal with lazy folk. Help me, somebody. There's some folk that just like to lie and they enjoy it. And God has called you to lead and work with liars. You all right. Because God has called you and God has equipped you to deal with folk that just say whatever's on the top of their head. But can I say this, though? You got to be careful that somebody human has placed you. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just keeping it real. Look at the start of it. If they saw something and they said something and you didn't vet and ask God for direction and guidance, but you just hear because somebody said, we got a program or we got a spot or we got this, and you haven't asked God for guidance or direction and God has not said go, then you out there without any protection. You don't have any equipment. If I go to a baseball game and they ask me to hit, I need a baseball bat and a helmet. Somebody in here asked me to go fishing. I need something to go catch fish with. A net, hook, some worms, a reel, something. Because you asked me to go fishing, I need something to catch the fish with. Help me, somebody. So if God calls you, he's going to give you everything you need when you need it. But if man calls you, I'm just being real, they'll have your back way back. Maybe I'm the only one. Have you ever? We'll help you. We support you. We love you. You got a whole lot of people here that will just lift you up. Then when you make the call, somebody busy. They can't get there. They're not around. That's why you got to trust the call, because God can take you when you're by yourself and you'll act like you're an army of thousands. But you can only do it if God has called you, because God will equip you for what he's assigned you to do. Somebody get my point here. God's instruction to Jeremiah, it came with an implicit promise and presence of empowerment. He does not send Jeremiah forth without support. But he implies he will be with him every step of the way. There was an IT section. Somebody support. There were some people that God is saying, I'll be with you, Jeremiah. I'm not just sending you out there. I'm with you. And we spread the gospel. Great commission. He said, and lo, I'll be with you always. Even until the end of the world. He doesn't sit down and say, go out there and preach. Go out there and proclaim. He said, and lo, if you do this, I will be with you. This underscores the principle that God equips those that he calls. When God appoints you, you appoint it. When God assigns you, you assign. When God elevates you, you elevate it. When God gives you a raise, you got a raise. But when man, human beings do it, it's 50-50. Because mankind got budgets. Mankind got pensions to make. Mankind got presidents that like to just lay folk off. Help me, somebody. But when God has placed you, even if you're laid off, you have more when you're laid off than when you was laid on. We are reminded that when God calls us to a task, large or small, he does not leave us to our own devices. He's there and he has your back. He is with us to guide us with his word every step of the way. God is not just a God that says, I will be with you. He actually backs up what he says. And please, my brothers and sisters, even though the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hezekiah and all of those kings and all of those priests, they went through some things and they had difficulties, but God always protected them as long as they were walking in accordance and obedience to what he said. It's not that trouble wouldn't come, but when it came, he protected them. God equips those he calls. One of my favorite passages, and then I'm done, is Exodus 4. I don't know if you remember, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent. I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow to speech and tongue. You're asking me to speak to people? I have stage fright. I can't get in front of people. They're going to look at me. They're going to laugh at me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And God said, ain't your brother Aaron? And I could hear just the thoughts. You're going to go. So you ain't got to worry about your excuses. Come on, Aaron, your brother, he's on his way. He'll speak for you. Any other excuses? You gave human beings their mouths. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I said it earlier, but Philippians 4:13, do you remember what Philippians 4:13 say? It say, I can do all things. I can do all things through who? Christ that strengthens me. So I'm just reminding you, whoever you are, just like Jeremiah had his excuses in 1:7-8 in Jeremiah on all that he couldn't do, and he was young and inexperienced in this. The Lord told him, verse 8, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. You just do what I tell you to do, and I am with thee to deliver it, said the Lord. Verse 8, that's a promise, isn't it? Isn't that assuring? that God just doesn't send us out there by ourselves? He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Why? Because I am with thee to deliver thee. That's what he said. I'm going to be with you. If I'm going to have to fight, and I got one person to be on my side, God's it. Don't need anything else. Don't need nobody else. In fact, because I'm going to ask for his direction and guidance, I wouldn't show up to the fight unless he told me to be there. Somebody catch that? So when you go through life and you have difficulties and struggles, God will lead you because he's not going to call you to anything that he's not going to equip you for. God is able. God instructs Jeremiah to depend on him in the midst of his calling. And Jesus demonstrated complete trust in God's guidance and direction throughout all of his life in ministry. In several key ways, Jesus showed that he trusted God. Through prayer and communion with the Father, Jesus regularly, Jesus all the time, sought for God's guidance through prayer. Brothers and sisters, wherever you go through prayer, ask for God's direction and ask for his guidance. Also, Jesus submitted to God's will. It wasn't about what he wanted. It was all about what God wanted him to do. And as I read my record of Jesus' life, he was never hungry and he was never without. And I noticed something about my big brother Jesus, that not only he had a strong prayer and communication with God, asking him for direction and assistance and submitting and saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I noticed something about Jesus, that Jesus trusted in God's timing. I remember Jesus when he was just a little old youth there in the temple. His parents walked away and had to come back and get him. When they found him in the temple, his reply was, I am just doing my Father's business. He submitted to God's will and to God's way. I remember Jesus having confidence in God's provision and in God's power. Anybody in here being able to turn water into wine? Any scientist in here, you can't do it, but my Jesus has already done it. Anybody in here try to walk on water? Yeah, you can't do it without any devices, but just the word of Jesus. Already done that too. Told somebody to walk on water and allow them to walk on water. What I'm trying to share with us today is that when God calls you, God will keep you. And he's called you just this morning. I heard him call your name early this morning, and you responded by getting up this morning. He's able. I've stopped by today to say that my God, he's able. He's able. He's able. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before God. He's able to keep you in the midnight hour. May the Lord God bless you real good. He's able to be stretched out on Calvary's cross. May the Lord God bless you real good. He's able to withstand being pierced in the side. May the Lord God bless you real good. He's able to be taken from the cross and his dead body be placed in the tomb. May the Lord God bless you real good. But early, 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 somebody say early, early Sunday morning, may the Lord God bless you real good. He got up with all power, with all power, with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. I'm mean it this time. I'm through. But if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't be able, you wouldn't be able to get up this morning. I ain't got nothing else to say, because you got a chance and you got an opportunity simply because God called you and you made the wake-up list. Yes! And you answer and point to yourself and say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And that's enough. God will equip you and sustain you for everything. Hey, 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 hey. For everything. Everything. Everything you need. I just get a couple words. Has God brought you out of anything? Anybody going through some things? Is he keeping you? Is he sustaining you? We can learn from Jeremiah not to look at our inadequacies and our insecurities, but to trust God's call in our lives, his provision. Any witnesses, he will sustain us, he will guide us, he will lead us. Amen. Amen. I will trust in the Lord. Everybody ain't called to be in the office of pastor and preacher, but he's called you to be a part of the body of Christ. Walk in that calling. Do what God has called you to do, and he will sustain you. He will keep you. I'm not just talking about something that I haven't experienced. I've seen it and experienced it for myself. That if you just trust God and what He's called you to do, He will keep you and sustain you. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen. 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 Go with God, go with peace.